This Patmos Report is part two of two parts of You Want a Good Christian Husband? And that's in the form of a question. So, if you want this lesson in context, you better start with part one first. And then, in part two here, we're starting with the scriptural reference of Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. And I quote, "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." This unsettling word from the Lord Jesus and his use of the word hate is found in most translations because one cannot change the word hate to lessen the impact without receiving the condemnation from legitimate Greek scholars. And if you would like the word hate here to mean love less, it doesn't. In a nutshell, it means to hate the physical and natural love you have for people, especially your immediate relatives and your own self, and love them more importantly with the agape love of God. Does that sound a little more palatable? Maybe not. And maybe this is a cup one doesn't want to be offered, which can come with fiery consequences. The truth is, we are to apply the agape love of God to everyone, equally. This is like the Lord Jesus commands, whether they are our natural father or mother or wife or children or brothers or sisters or even our own self. As you remember in Mark chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus was notified that his visiting family was waiting on the outside of his crowd of students, he, in God's love, didn't stop to welcome them and rhetorically asked, "Who is my mother or my brethren?" And he looked round about them which sat with him and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." As you can deduce, the Lord is to be number one in your life, and number two, and number three ad infinitum. Listen, if he is the only love in your life, then you will love everyone else through him by your obedience, which is God's way, with agape love. This reminds me of the guy who was married to a woman that was in opposition to everything he did in ministry, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. Her negative reactions became so predictable, he knew if he did something in the Lord's work, or was about to, he'd have marital problems. Then, over time, he also figured, correctly, he must be doing something right if he caught some flack from her. But unfortunately, many a man has succumbed to pressure from his wife and bypassed the Lord's direction to please his wife rather than the Lord. As some say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Anyway, after a 2-week fast by the husband in an illustration, followed by 3 or 4 days of a spiritual battle and praying constantly, 24/7, he got the victory. Then, after passing this milestone, or is that kidney stone, he was able to do what the Lord wanted him to do, no matter how much fiery wrath she loosed, and she finally left him, and he was called to peace. Check it out in 1 Corinthians 7:15. Another case of a husband putting the Lord before his wife, but with a different ending, was the young couple who were preparing to go to Africa in 1920 as missionaries. After taking physical exams for the assignment, the new bride was informed she had a heart murmur and might not be able to go. She asked her husband what he was going to do if she couldn't go to the mission field, and his response was, "The Lord has called me to Africa." But as it turned out, she was able to go, and they had a fruitful ministry for 50 years and several more years after retiring. By the way, she died at 96 years old. So, men, when it comes to serving the Lord with that perfect gift from above, your wife, you must have the mind of an unmarried man sometimes when complying with the Lord's callings. In other words, ask yourself in those prickly situations, what would the Lord have me do if I weren't attached to a wife? And after a sip of that cup you are offered, your wife may not like the choice you make, but she ought to accept it by faith and go with the leading of the Lord. And in the end, you'll both be blessed. But if you have to leave those close alliances, all your alliances behind to follow Jesus Christ, there are encouraging compensations more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Wives, your hubby won't be a popular person among the majority of this world, which is made up of unbelievers, especially those in sheepskins. And for a hint on who the camouflage sheepskin bunch is, do the math. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And many of those in camouflage are hiding behind their sheepskin diplomas. Well, I guess you could say there is good news and bad news for finding a good Christian husband, but for those who are in the kingdom of God, it is only the good news of the gospel that counts. In conclusion, the hardships a woman may have to endure as a wife of the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ may be many, and his pay may not be great, but retirement is out of this world. God loves you. Read your Bible. The truth is in there, or the truth you're trying to avoid. Maranatha.